from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Ken Coleman, Ramsey personality, number one best-selling author of the book Paycheck to Purpose, host of the Ken Coleman Show, is my co-host today as we answer your questions about your careers and work and money. And Ken's show is all about your work and your career, and we'll both jump in on whatever you want to talk about. The phone number is 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Green Bay, Wisconsin. Craig starts this hour. Hi, Craig. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Just quick question, bottom line up front. Am I being a stick in the mud and not wanting to spend money? So some details. 38, married with six kids, $200,000 household income. Our house is worth probably $900. We owe $475 and have no debt outside of the mortgage. My wife has a 2015 van with about 90,000 miles on it, and it's worth about $15,000 if we were to sell it or trade it in. I'm fortunate that I have a company provided truck, so I have no vehicle expense there. We're in the process of selling a paid off rental where we're going to be keeping about $120,000. I want to take all of that and throw that all off at our mortgage, and my wife wants to upgrade her van to maybe a $45,000 or $50,000 Suburban, and use $30,000 to $40,000 of our rental, our income coming back on selling the rental house. And I guess I'm struggling with the whole reverse engineering, because I wouldn't take off, or I wouldn't take a loan more on the mortgage to pay the, to go toward a car. But I guess am I stick in the mud for thinking what I'm thinking?
I don't think stick in the mud is the right analogy, although she may have called you that.
No, that's me being critical of myself.
Thus the phone call. I think you're just, you are the nerd. You are, like I am at my house, you're the numbers cruncher, and you're also happen to be the saver, and she's more of the free spirit and more of the spender, and neither one are right or wrong. You need each other. Larry Burkett used to say, if two people just to like get married, one of you is unnecessary. So you need, opposites generally attract, and that's a good thing. So we balance each other out. My wife is the natural saver at our house, and I'm the natural spender at our house. I'm in charge of fun, and she's in charge of killing it. No, I'm kidding. But the
careful, Dave. So careful.
Yeah, this could get back to her. She might actually listen to the show one day. Who
knows?
Right. But no, you're not being a stick in the mud. You are being yourself, and she's being herself. And there's really not a wrong answer here. Here's what I'm thinking when I heard your whole story. This purchase of this van, this upgrade of this van, she spends a lot of time with six kids while you're out there earning all this income. And so this is a quality of life thing for her. This is not a frivolous expenditure in her mind. The other thing I'm thinking is that this is not a pattern, that this lady consistently wants to buy crap and you guys don't make advances on your wealth building plan. That's not really who she is. This is a fairly rare request for her. I know that because your numbers tell me that, because you don't have a bunch of other mess that she has made. So she's not an overspender. She's not like a congressman, right?
This is the biggest one with multiple zeros.
She's reasonably frugal for a spender.
Yes.
Yeah. She's not immature. Yeah. She's not a princess. She's not always wanting something new. I know that because your numbers, the fact that you're debt-free with six kids making $200,000, you've got almost $1 million or better than $1 million net worth, tells me that she's not. Okay? Because she would have destroyed that were she, were the pattern there. So this is not a pattern. Given the life situation, I'm going to go with her on this.
Yeah. And Craig, can I challenge your mindset, Craig, in a positive way? Okay, I'm not getting on you. I want to just give you a different thought process. You're winning.
Yes.
You're winning financially.
For real.
And this rental house is another giant win on top of all of the winning you've done to this point. Celebrate the win by getting a really nice car that your wife really wants, and understand that you're not losing in any way, shape, or form by spending reasonably on a really nice Suburban for your wife. And I just think you have to shift your mindset here. You're still winning, and you need to celebrate this big win by being able to bless your wife and your six kids. I think you reframe that, and I think you'll sleep a little bit better. But you've been so intense, and we're proud of you. And it's what got you to this point. But we've got to learn. You know, I don't work out very much. I know people can tell that when they see me. But I've got some friends that work out like crazy, Dave, and they tell me, I got to have a cheat day. I got to have an off day if I'm going all the time. And I think it's the same thing in this gazelle intensity. You've earned this. She's
earned it. No,
they're
not even at gazelle intensity stage, though.
They're really, but they have been for so long.
At intentional stage.
That's right, yeah.
So, you drive like no one else so that later you can drive like no one else.
That's right,
I
love that.
You live like no one else so that later you can live and give like no one else. These are, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it yields a harvest of righteousness, and that's where you are. You have yielded a harvest, and you've done a really, 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 really good job. A. B, this is not a pattern on her part. This is a singular situation. And if you hadn't done a good job or this was a pattern, I probably would have sided with you. Like if you had a bunch of other debt laying around or something and you want to do this instead of paying off some student loan debt or something. I mean, nope, get rid of the student. You know, but that you guys have done, been so superb. And this lady, I can just tell by the numbers, she is not an unreasonable person. She's you married up. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. Yep. Good stuff. Open phones at 888-825-5225. The first time I was blessed, I'll name drop, to get to meet the great Zig Ziglar.
Mm.
Sharon and I had lunch with him and Gene at this little Italian restaurant. And about halfway through the lunch, Zig says, "Dave, you know, I don't really respect a man that won't marry up. And I got to tell you, I deeply respect you."
Only Zig could say it like that. I think that's a compliment somewhere in there.
I think that was good. Yeah.
That's great.
This is The Ramsey Show. If current times have shown us anything, it's that the least expected events can and will happen, and we have to deal with it. That's why everyone who has a family counting on them needs term life insurance. For over 25 years, the only insurance company I've recommended is Zander Insurance. Not only because they search all of the top term life plans to find you the best rates, but over the years, they have constantly changed and updated their systems to make the whole process simpler and easier to get the protection needed. You can now apply with a completely touchless experience, with everything being done either over the phone or the internet. They also have plans with super competitive rates that don't require an exam, allowing you to skip a step and get the coverage you need faster. Go to Zander.com or call 800-356-4282. Great rates and a simple process mean there's no excuse to not get this done, people. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us. We're so glad you're here. If you're listening to the show and you're trying to piece together what we teach on our own, you can do that. It's called common sense. You could have done it before you came to us. Live on less than you make. Chop up your stupid credit cards. Nobody ever got rich on credit cards except the credit card companies. So this is really not rocket science. And there's like, I think we have had, they said the other day, something like 4 billion minutes of YouTube viewed of this show now. It's bizarre. It's like 1,100 years worth of YouTube has been now viewed of this show and me and you and everything else. You know, and so the YouTube channel is massive. If you want to wander through all that stuff and try to figure out what we do, you can do that, but that's not the most efficient way.
No.
The best way to do it is just take the class. You'll just be the nine lessons in just a few weeks, and the average person who takes Financial Peace University is debt-free in less than 2 years, everything but their house. House is paid off an average of 7 years. It's a proven system. 10 million people have been through it. Now, again, you could do it with a Total Money Makeover book for $10 at Ramsey Solutions right now, but that's harder. This is the easiest way to get the whole thing going, and it's the most efficient way for your dollar, for bang for your buck. So we're pouring jet fuel on the whole thing right now. The Ramsey personalities, Ken Coleman included, Dr. John Deloney included. Rachel and Jade's classes are already going, but they're leading Financial Peace University classes. They're the coordinators of some of the classes online. If you want to be in a personality coordinated FPU class, you can still do that for Ken or Deloney or George Camel. Jade Warshaw, Rachel Cruz's classes are closed. They're like four lessons in already. You waited around too long on those. But you can get in on these and don't have FOMO. Go to financialfpu.com or ramseysolutions.com and click on FPU, either one. Thank you for joining us. Mason is in Idaho. Hi, Mason. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
How's it going?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Good. So I'm 16 years old, and me and my brother do landscaping. He's owner, then I'm his lawn care manager. I'm going to bring in probably about $45,000 this year and closer to $100,000 next year.
Wow.
I just want to advise where to put that money as I'm still living at home and don't have a ton of expenses.
They pay off your parents' house. Oh, my gosh. Wow. What are you doing again?
We do lawn care and landscaping. We do a lot of work. We have a really fancy golf course, and we do a lot of properties down there. So
wow. And you said your brother's your boss, and you're the lawn care manager. How old's your brother?
He's 19.
19. Man.
Yep.
I don't want to hear anybody griping about young people. I mean,
and I don't want to hear anybody griping that you can't find something to do to work out
there.
That's a fact. Oh, my gosh.
He's projecting $100,000 next year.
Why not? Why not?
That's a good story. Way to go, young man.
Mason, you're amazing. Congratulations.
Wow.
So your question is what to do with the money?
Yeah, I just was like investment. We're definitely going to move out at some point, so save for a house and all that. But
you plan to go to college?
No, sir.
Yeah, attaboy.
What's wrong with college?
Nothing, Dave.
It's not bad,
but
he makes smart people smarter if they take the right stuff.
If they need it,
okay,
he doesn't
so what
need
you,
it.
What are you going to do with your life, Mason?
Definitely do this for the next couple of years, keep the manager going, definitely get up there. We'll see where this business goes. It's definitely growing. We have four trucks, and we're having to buy a truck about every other month, it seems like. But and then, I don't know, I'm kind of thinking about maybe going into crane work. We have some cool classes over here for that. So,
okay. So the reason I'm asking all that is not to be facetious. It's to say the first and best investment someone in your age group can make, 16 to 26, is in knowledge. That may or may not be a four-year degree. That may or may not be a formal series of classes, but knowledge. And the thing you do need to do is be a continual learner the rest of your life. So you're always going to conferences, reading books, taking the occasional class or whatever, and or in your case, maybe you are pursuing a certain certification in crane operation or whatever that is. But that's the best use of this money because it's going to give you the best rate of return. Knowledge has the best rate of return of any possible investment, knowledge that actually has utilitarian use in the marketplace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. So, getting tooled up, you're getting your brain and your hands tooled up to go do the next thing is always the best money maker. So that's where I want you to do with money first. Secondly, you can begin investing. And if you don't need to set aside a bunch of money for a 4 year because you're not going that route, then you can start to think about Roth IRAs, file a tax return. Do a Roth IRA, get with a SmartVestor Pro. They'll help you do that, and you can get a real head start on that. But if you told me you were going to 4 year and you needed this money for that, I'd be okay with you just setting it aside for that. Any of those are fine, any of those directions. Wow.
Yeah, really impressive. And see, this is going to be an entrepreneur.
He already is.
Whether he takes the crane classes or not, I'm telling you, this young man is going to be creating jobs from a company that he has started. And this is the entrepreneurial path And I just couldn't be any more excited to hear a story like this. And this is, and I want to be very clear, and Dave's having fun with me, but I'm not anti-college. I'm anti-assuming that you have to go to college to be successful and spend 4 years, time and money on a degree that you don't even want and may not even be able to use. That's my position. This young man is an exhibit A of he doesn't need the four-year degree. What he does need is, as Dave pointed out beautifully, continuing knowledge, continue to grow, and education is not exclusive to a diploma at a fancy university. Education is, like Dave said, reading books, listening to podcasts, going to conferences, sitting with successful business women and businessmen who are winning in the field you want to be in. And so what a great story. 19 and 16-year-old brothers, Dave.
Yeah. So
crushing it.
Had the exact same situation just the other day. I got some work being done on one of our properties.
Yeah.
And two of these big track hoes come up, major cranes, grabbing rocks, grabbing stuff, right? Talking to the guy running it, and he's like 30 years old, and he owns the thing. He goes, I started listening to you. He's 40 years old. I'm sorry. He said, I started listening to you when 20 years ago.
Wow.
On talk radio. And he goes, I was running a, I was cutting grass.
Mm-hmm.
I was running a lawn care, and I expanded into irrigation, and we expanded into tree removal. And I bought a couple pieces of heavy equipment, and he said, now I own $2 million worth of heavy equipment, and I run a heavy equipment operation.
Wow.
100% debt-free the entire time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And high school graduate.
Yeah, and he just kept working, did good work, opportunities presented himself, he learned it, acquired it, did it, expanded it, and I wonder how many people he employs.
A bunch.
See?
I mean, you got several million dollars worth of equipment, it doesn't sit idle.
That's correct.
You know,
so he's creating jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, this is how America works, boys and girls. Just a little lesson for your economics class.
That's true. That's
Karl Marx was not there. This is The Ramsey Show. Open phones at 888-825-5225. Our friend Mike Rowe would be real proud of
that
kind of thing. We were talking about this in the America's Labor Crisis event we did a few weeks ago that you were a part of. And we were talking, and Mike and I were talking about it on stage, that he's about as hardcore pro-tradesman as anybody you'll ever meet.
That's right.
And almost anti-college, but not completely anti-college.
That's right.
But, you know, what we all agree on, regardless of where on that spectrum you land,
right,
is a useless college degree is useless and too expensive.
That's right.
And so getting a degree in German polka history, you're going to end up being a barista, okay? This is just dumb. All right, and you're going to pay $250,000 for the opportunity to draw somebody else's coffee. And so nothing wrong with being a barista, but if that wasn't your goal and that's where you end up by default, that's what I'm making fun of. So don't let the barista union start sending me hate mail, okay? But our point was that the currency all along has been knowledge.
Yes.
And somewhere the switch got flipped and the currency became a college degree.
Yes.
And it's not a college degree.
No.
The currency that moves you into the next thing, the thing you spend to go into the next section of your life, is knowledge. A college degree can represent that, but it is not the currency.
That's right.
This is The Ramsey Show. Hey guys, whether you're starting on a card table like I did or well on your way to becoming a multi-million dollar company, NetSuite can help your team communicate and plan ahead better, like they do for Ramsey. Let me tell you, NetSuite really helped us get our systems together. And more than 37,000 other companies also use NetSuite to know their numbers and their business better. So check out NetSuite today and find out how they can help you become the business you want to be 5 or 30 years from now. And right now you can download NetSuite's free KPI checklist designed to give you consistently excellent performance at netsuite.com/Ramsey. Ken Coleman, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us, America. This is The Ramsey Show. Tracy is with us in Orange County, California. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Thanks. Well, you guys are not going to be as proud of me as you were the first two callers, but
okay.
Sorry to bring it down, but
oh, well, there's Tracy, and then there's Tracy. Okay.
Okay. So I've got a bonus coming next month, about $13,000.
Way to go.
About 19. Well, here's where it goes down. I'm about $19,000 in credit card debt with 17 cards open, and I pay about $754 a month on those cards. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, my husband is not happy with me at all, so you know, he's the saver. My question is, do I pay off as many of the lowest cards as possible and 30% on the bigger ones? I'm trying to figure out what I should do with my bonus money to get rid of as much of this debt as possible.
Okay. Let's answer that, but let's kind of circle around it for a second before we do, okay? Because it does affect the importance of the answer. Now, it won't change the answer, but are you done?
Yes.
You're done. You cut them all up?
I'm done. Yes.
You hesitated.
They are all cut up.
Every one of them.
No, well, I had to think about it for a second, but okay. I'm looking at them right now in the trash. My husband and I have had many heated discussions about it, and I don't want to waste money about...
This has become a thing. Okay.
It has become a very serious thing.
Okay. And are you two now going to move from him having serious discussions at his wife's credit card debt to now working together and handling money together and never going back here again?
Correct, because as he says, on paper we do really well, but I have a spending problem, so I don't want it to affect our marriage as it is, and I'm done.
Well, I want you to be able to continue to enjoy money as a vote on the budget that you do together, but that will also ensure some accountability that you're asking for and willing to do for not overspending. But I still want you to be able to spend. We don't want to go all the way to his side and you have no oil at all on the joints and start to squeak. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So enjoyment of money is part of the process as well. It's not, but overdoing it obviously is not the process. So having said all that, that's important because, if you're not doing the things that we've been talking about for the last few moments, no answer to your $13,000 is going to work because this crap's going to grow back.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's why I wanted to set the table there for that. So having said all of that then, let's just list them smallest to largest, regardless of the interest rate balance, smallest to largest balance, and pay off as many as 13 will do. You said there's 17 cards. I'll bet you that gets rid of 14 of them.
Well, I've got 8 that are under $1,000, and I've got 9 that are over a $1,000 balance.
Okay, so we know we got 8 of them. That's $8,000, and then there's another $5,000, so I'm going to be pretty close. Might be 13 instead of 14, but depending on how those balances land. But the good news is, and I tell you, I have sat with people, Tracy, in the past, like years ago when I first started doing this, and I was amazed at what it does to your emotions. Like when... we would make a list of all of their debts, smallest to largest, and then we would look over and say, hey, you have $11,000 in a savings account. And they would have, these people maybe in those situations have a little $75 medical bill from diagnostic. Because if you drive near a hospital, they send you a $75 diagnostic bill. You don't even have to go in. You just drive past, they send you a bill. It's like automatic. It's like a camera on the car. And so, you know, you get all these little mosquito bills, I call them little tiny ones, and we make there'd be a list of 30 or 40 things when people first start this that have been just hanging around because they were disorganized and chaotic, and we would take $10,000 and wipe out like 3/4 of the list, and it feels like you did more than you actually did mathematically. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when you knock out 13, 14 of these things, you're gonna get that sense of emotional momentum.
Yeah. And Tracy, I'm going to challenge you. I mean, first of all, every penny. So let me make sure you hear us. Every penny of the 13. So that's going to leave you with $6,000 left. And I would keep the momentum going because I think you're going to get a real shot of dopamine when you strike a check and you cut it down to $6,000. But then I would be doing selling things. I would be looking for extra opportunity to make some money and put it on paper just as you list out all of those
debts. Knock out the rest of it real fast.
How quickly can I knock out the $6,000? And if you do that before we cut the check for 13, so it all happens, 1-2 punch, I think you're going to be surprised how quick you knock out the six. It's going to change your marriage. It's going to change all this emotion that's been around these heated conversations.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And we're thankful to have you in the listening audience and proud of you.
As you say, Dave, she's sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Yeah. That's when you finally say, I've had it.
Yeah.
That's when you're ready to change. Until you're ready, until you had your I've had it moment. And she has.
Yep, you can tell. Yes.
And no one can have it for you.
Isn't that the truth?
Your husband can't have it for you.
That's right.
You know.
It's true.
You know, I now value my marriage and the quality of my marriage, not just my marriage, but the quality of my marriage above the spending pattern.
Yep.
I've had it.
Yeah.
And that's an adult decision right there. It's not a baby. So she said we weren't going to be as proud of her as the other two. I'm proud of her.
Yeah, I agree.
I think you're doing really good.
I absolutely agree. Because, you know, in some ways, the constitution that it takes emotionally, mentally, you're going to have to really go after this, change the way you live and think. That's to be admired, Tracy.
Yep.
It's to be admired. Change isn't easy.
Transformation is one of the hardest things humans do.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting. You're talking about this idea that go ahead and lay out the plan for the other 6,000. That's very – so there's two things here you guys need to listen and hear very clearly if you're fighting debt. Number one, when you pay off smallest to largest, you get a positive feedback loop, okay? This is telling you you're winning, you're winning, you're winning, you're winning, you're winning. There's a light at the end of the tunnel that's not an oncoming train. And so you will keep with something that gives you a positive feedback loop. That's a psychological phrase. Go look it up, okay? So if you're getting some wins, if you go on a diet and you lose weight, you'll keep doing it. If you go on a diet and you gain 2 pounds, you quit. Negative feedback loop, positive feedback loop, okay? So you need things that – the second thing that happens is, and we do it here on the air with people, and they don't even realize we're doing it to them, is that when you lay out the math for the first time and you go, huh, I really can do that in about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I never – by Christmas where – the math when you lay out a plan, even though you've absolutely done nothing yet
–
you just laid out a plan. That's all you did. You just recognized it is doable.
Yes.
But you've actually done nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Your stress goes way down.
Yeah.
Because your hope goes way up.
Oh, it's so true. And that's from a power of focus. You know, we know from psychology research that when we focus on something intently, we begin to see it everywhere. The example that they give in research studies is when you go buy a car, last time you bought a car, live studio audience, you can play along with me here. You remember commenting on how you saw that blue minivan or whatever you bought everywhere over the next week? Even your kids were like, hey, there's our car. Well, the God of cars didn't just drop them in on the road. It's that you focus so intently on a purchase like this that we begin to see it. And as you described, Dave, when we begin to see that I can pay it off in 4 months, 6 months, 10 months, here's what happens. You begin to truly see the opportunities to make more money, to cut expenses everywhere, and it becomes so believable. And that's what makes it so achievable. Because all of a sudden you go, wait a second, this is, I can do this, and the power of belief is unstoppable.
Yeah, hope.
Yeah, hope. It's hope. I can hope. See it.
That's exactly what it is. I actually have hope in an area. I've never been good at money. I've always been behind on my bills. It's always been chaotic. You have all these negative self-talk things,
mm-hmm.
all these negative messages.
Mm.
And some of you, if you talked to my friend the way you talk to yourself, I would smack you. You don't talk to people I like that. You know, don't talk to yourself that way. Be nicer to yourself. And let's get the negative thing out of there. And it's not heebie-jeebie mysterious stuff. It's just like, gosh, I can actually do this. And hope deferred, hopelessness, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it is the tree of life. Oh, that'll preach. This is The Ramsey Show. Based on our ratings and our rankings in the podcast and YouTube world and the radio world, there's a whole bunch of you are new. Thank you. We're glad you're here. And if you want to learn more about what's going on, what we're talking about on the air and everything else, hit the Get Started button at RamseySolutions.com. It's a free process that'll lead you kind of into where you are and the different places we can take you depending on what your needs, wants, and desires are. So check it out. Click Get Started, completely free, no obligation, no salesman will call, RamseySolutions.com. Josh is in Phoenix. Hey, Josh, welcome to The Ramsey Show.
Hey, sir, how's it going?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Yeah, I have a question for you. So I want to know, would it be smart to sell my current home to buy a smaller home to have little to no mortgage to be able to pay off the rest of my debt?
Are you single?
No.
You have children? Married,
three kids.
Three kids. Okay.
Right. One's getting ready to graduate in 2 days, actually, from high school to
Wonderful.
College.
What's your square footage?
I'm at 3,700 square feet right now.
And what's the house worth?
It's worth about $1 million.
Okay. And what do you owe on it?
$555.
Okay. And what's your household income?
I'm retired, so with my pension and my part-time job, I would say about $12,000 take home.
And how much do you have in a nest egg?
I'm sorry?
How much money do you have saved in a nest egg?
About $20,000 saved.
Okay. Your wife doesn't work outside the home. How do you pay a $555,000 mortgage with $12,000?
My mortgage is about $3,000 a month. I had another house that I had previously owned and sold to put down on this house, and I bought it when the interest rates were pretty low.
Yeah, so but you make $12,000 a year, you said.
No, $12,000 a month. I apologize.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Yes.
I feel so much better for you. I was so worried about you, Josh. How's this guy living in a $1 million house with a poverty level income? I couldn't figure it out. Okay. Yeah, life is better already. Okay. Do you have any debts other than the house?
Yes, I have credit card debt about $41,000 and car debt about $53,000.
And
then I also have a HELOC that is about $50,000.
Okay. And what's the big car?
The big car is going to be about $30,000
of
and
the 53.
Car is about
okay.
Correct.
30 of the 53. Okay. All right. So basically, $150,000 makes you debt free, and you make $144,000 or so a year.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Do you hate your house?
I actually love my house.
Does your wife hate your house?
She loves it, but I just feel like there's three rooms in the house that we really don't use, and it's going to be four soon once.
Yeah, I would sell $50,000 worth of cars before I would sell $1 million house.
Okay.
And I probably would do neither, actually, in your case. But what I would want to do is look up what you've identified is that this $150,000 in miscellaneous debt's a problem. That's what you've identified. And that the
Correct.
House is overkill, given that one kid is leaving. But the house is wonderful. You love the house. It's a great investment. It's doing well. There's no problems with it. So in your case, if I woke up in your shoes, is how we answer questions here, I would just double down on a budget and talk to your wife and say, if we keep this house, we got to stop overspending, and we got to clean this stupid debt up. And that's going to involve rolling up our sleeves and plowing through $150,000 worth of debt in about 3 years or 2 years, and or selling some cars and doing it a little faster. I don't care which you choose to do, but you guys have just been sloppy.
Okay.
You make enough money to not be this darn debt. Agreed?
Right. I agree.
Yeah, that's sloppy. That's all it is. That credit card debt was just crap. You just here or there picked up something popped up, and you didn't have any cash. You only got $20,000 saved. And so basically, you just all the money comes in, all the money goes out, and only the names are changed to protect the innocent.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's not picking on you. It's just recognition of where you are and where you've got to go if you want to not be where you are, right?
Correct. And that's kind of where I'm at now. I want to get out of debt. I want to be debt-free. I had it once in my life, and I want to get back there again. So
I would like for you to be back there and retain this house if you can. I think selling the house is a desperation play, and everybody's going to be miserable because everybody likes this house. And I don't think it's necessary to clean the mess up mathematically. But what is necessary is you and your wife have a real talk about this budget thing. We're going to have to tighten that puppy up.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting to see whether or not he's driving this house situation or she is. It's not a bad move, but I'm with you. I think they can get out of it and keep that house, and they're going to be better off in the long run when they're debt-free and have this house that's just growing.
You need to change your habits anyway.
That's correct.
So you might as well change them.
That's a good point.
And see if you can't clean the mess up and keep the house.
Now,
even if you sell the house and you don't change your habits, you got a mess.
Yeah. Now, here's what I want to ask you, because we have a lot of new people coming in all the time from all these different platforms. Selling the cars is an option. You mentioned that. But why in this case do you say, you know what, you don't have to sell the cars, you can pay those cars off? I'm just curious why you take that position. Well, I want people to hear that.
Basically, it adds, it's one-third of the debt. Okay.
That's right.
So there's a 40, 53, 50.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically 50 grand is each, right. each bucket.
That's right.
And he makes 150.
Right.
All right. So what can we do? And we got a $3,000 payment. We got a $555,000 mortgage. So, you know, it's not mandatory, but it's going to lengthen the get out of debt plan by at least a year.
Right. Right.
If you keep the cars.
Right.
And they're not quite high enough. If one of them had been 53 or 50 and the other one was 3,
right,
I'd have probably sold the 50.
Okay. Okay.
I'd have probably pushed it because I'm looking at behavior patterns.
Right.
I'm trying to tweak there and get that going. But when they're both fairly, you know, 30 and 23, that kind of thing, then there's no obvious offender there, right? It's more of a general concept offender than this.
Because it's doable. The point is they could pay those cars off and then they got something. Because I lean, Dave, I don't know if it's the way I'm wired, because I drove a lot of crap cars for a long time. I mean, honestly, and just because we were paying off debt in Atlanta and I was driving older cars and all that kind of stuff, I just lean towards, if I can get rid of the car, I'm getting rid of the car. Because I don't know if it's your teaching and being your friend for so long, but I go, this is a depreciating asset. And the house is not.
Yeah, I'm not trading cars for a house. No.
No
never,
way.
Never, never. Always a bad trade. And always, because here's the thing. Think about this. I was driving through a neighborhood the other day. I was cutting across a thing. And I cut through this new neighborhood that was in the Nashville area here. So it was a basically right in the middle class in terms of price range. It probably been $300,000 to $400,000 houses, which is square. That's median household price. Actually, nationwide, that's the median home price right now. And so I'm driving down, and these nice homes that are fairly new, less than 5 years old, are lined up right down the street. Front opening garage doors, small lots, and I'm driving down through there, and I'm seeing really nice cars in front of all of these houses.
Right.
So they're sitting there with $50,000, $60,000 worth of cars in front of a $300,000 house, and 100% of those got payments on them.
Absolutely.
And 100% of those people are trying to run a race with ankle weights on.
Right.
Or trying to swim with a concrete block life preserver. I mean, whatever bad metaphor we want to use here, right? But
yeah,
it's just, I'm going, this is the middle class.
It's exactly right.
Big depreciating cars and car payments, smaller home.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
You know.
See, and that's why, Dave, I've got this, and I appreciate your advice, and I want our audience to hear this. If it's me, I'm a momentum guy.
I would
I want to sell my cars.
I would sell the cars.
I would too.
Because I have bought and sold cars my whole life.
Yeah.
I don't get married to cars like some people do. I mean, some people get a car and they're like, it's so large. And selling it to some emotionally because it's a big item.
Yeah, sure.
It feels like selling
That's
a house.
Right. Yeah.
But you could do a car transaction 6 times in a week.
That's
you know,
exactly
it doesn't, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
And so, but house transactions are super expensive. So, and you got to move your butt every time you do those anyway. So,
yikes.
But I don't get as attached to them. And so I'm just like, oh, I'll get another one.
Yeah. Like, that's where I land.
Yeah.
Too.
I bought a truck a couple years ago and I had about 5 weeks on it. I don't like it. And I just went and got a different truck. I mean, you know, it's a chain. You know, it's not a big deal. This is the Ramsey Show.
Hey folks, Ken Coleman here. Did you know The Ramsey Show is one of the most popular podcasts in the world? Get your daily dose of advice on life and money. Check out all of our shows from the Ramsey Network wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.